Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I must admit, I was a bit excited when I looked at the summer preaching schedule for chapel and noticed that my name fell on a saint's day. For a fleeting moment, I thought how great it would be to preach about one of these pioneers of the faith, pioneers in faith in the one true God, to sing one of the stanzas of this great hymn that we just sang, and to lift before our students such a saint as a radiant example of life in Christ. Then I noticed it was the day of St. James the Elder, Apostle. My excitement began to fade as I noticed that there wasn't that much in Scripture to say about St. James the Elder. Now, if we'd be honoring his brother, the other son of Zebedee, John, now there's a lot to say. Or James, the brother of our Lord. Now that, then I'd really have that sermon I wanted. But alas, my preaching date fell on St. James the Elder. Little is said about James the Elder, outside of the fact that he was a fisherman called along with his brother, John, and to be one of the 12. Also that on one occasion, he wanted to call down fire upon a city, very notable quality for an apostle. He was also the first apostle to die, which certainly limits what can be said about him. He was martyred, and that his mother desired places of honor for his brother and him. This latter, rather shameful incident, even serves as the gospel for his day, as we just heard. So what great things can we learn from this short-lived apostle, especially from this infamous incident of his life? Actually, a lot. The desire for recognition, for power, for authority, is not a desire that vacated the bodies of the apostles the moment Jesus said, "Come, follow me." Quite the contrary, their sinful nature remained alive and well, thus so did such desires. Even though you probably have heard lots of sermons stating that the 12 were only poor fishermen, a close reading of Mark 1:20, the paralleled accounts of Jesus' calling of these disciples, of James and John, shows us that there might have been a little more to James and John than just poor fishermen. We read there, James and John left their father in the boat with the hired servants and followed Jesus. The fact that Zebedee had hired servants, and note the plural, servants, meant that he did not run, as many of us think, a small-time dad and the kids fishing business, but rather certainly was a little more prosperous, at least enough to support a few hired men. The probable privileged upbringing, at least in the sense of first century Capernaum, of these both James and John also seems visible in the fact that their mother is the one who comes to Jesus requesting places of honor for her sons. Desires for recognition, for power and authority are also alive and well in the pastors, and certainly also in those preparing to be pastors, in spite of how we Greek professors try to curb those desires. Leadership courses abound which emphasize what CEOs have to do in order to succeed. And that kind of teaching sometimes transfers over to the church, and suddenly pastors begin to think that their leadership style is more important for the future of the congregation than faithful administration of God's word and sacraments. We begin to think of the kingdom of God as a corporate flow chart, and the pastoral office is right on top. Indeed, like the mother of these two disciples, we want some prominence in the kingdom, especially in light of all the sacrifices that we make in these 4 years leading up to our ordination and future pastorates. Jesus answered the mother of James, even as he answers us today. You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? It's a fascinating question. The cup that Jesus refers to is none other than the cup of wrath, God's wrath over sin, that he refers to in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays that this cup would pass from him. The cup which meant suffering and death as he drank it willingly for the salvation of the world. The life of an apostle is not or was not a climb up the corporate ladder. It was a life of following Jesus in the path of service that often, almost one can say, always brings suffering and sometimes even death. Our incorporation into Christ at our baptism recharts the path of life for each of us, and that life that is charted once one is ordained certainly does not veer from a path of suffering, a path of sacrifice. Jesus clarified this life path for all 12 disciples and for us when he stated, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The key words that Jesus uses here to define himself, as well as those who would follow him, especially follow him in the office of the pastor, are diakonos and doulos, not CEO, not VIP, but servant and slave. Jesus did not only preach this servanthood, but he lived it as he, the Lord, the King of this universe, served all the corrupt sinners of this world by taking our punishment upon himself as he ransomed his perfect life for sinners like us. As he drank the cup of God's wrath himself, the cup that we deserve to its very dregs. He had all authority in heaven and on earth, and he used that authority freely to free us from the condemnation of sin, so that we can now be sons of God and heirs of heaven. There is something that each of you preparing to be a pastor can learn from St. James. You will drink from the cup that Jesus drank. Faithful pastors often receive little public recognition and glory. In fact, they often sacrifice and suffer as they faithfully serve the people for whom Christ has sacrificed and served with his life. St. James the Elder probably did not realize how true Jesus' words would ring when his apostolic witness to Christ meant that his life was cut short by the sword of Herod Agrippa I. That's why he so quickly said, "We are able." But the Lord did enable him to face even that martyrdom. Like James, our servanthood will be relatively unknown in the world, even as the servanthood of several of the apostles is relatively unknown. Our lives will not be marked by victory rides down the Champs-Élysées, on the main thoroughfare of Paris, or their deaths will not be announced by multiple TV specials. Yet, in Christ, we will be great. For like James, we will be saints whose servanthood will continue eternally before the living Lamb in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.